You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Noble and Roosh Show, brought to you by Ball is Life and Dash Radio.
Welcome to the Noble and Roosh Show, the number one most downloaded podcast on the Ball is Life network. I'm your host, Roosh Williams, with my co-host, Zach Noble. And this is the only show, one of the only shows, where you get player interviews, bloggers, journalists, everything, all things NBA. We cover it head to toe. Today, we are lucky enough to be joined by a green room invitee, a forward out of LSU, Mr. Tari Eason. Tari, how are you doing today, man? We're really excited to speak with you.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Looking good, feeling good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, for our audio listeners, you can't tell, but Tari has a nice fit on. And for our YouTube viewers, you will obviously be able to see it. So hopefully this is a preview of what you're going to see tomorrow in the green room.
Can you tell I got my Tigers off on? Can you tell my Tigers are showing?
Yeah. Go Tigers.
I wanted to ask you how you're feeling about tomorrow, man. For the people listening to this, we're recording this the day before the draft. So any butterflies, or are you just ready for the process to be over or what?
All right. So to be honest, this is a dream come true for me. This is all really a surreal moment. So I'm really just doing my best to, soak up every moment and really just, enjoy everything.
That's amazing, man. So at what age did you first cross your mind that you think you might cross that stage someday and basketball was a real future career for you?
Three? No.
Attaboy.
Ever since I was, born, I could really always imagine this. This is always what I've wanted to do. This is really, my first real true love. So, this has been something I've been dreaming about since I was a child.
Yeah. So what has the process been like for you? Like how many workouts, what has it been like since the day you ended college?
Yeah, the process has been a little hectic, but it's also been great at the same time. I'm working out for different NBA teams, traveling, things like that. But, at the same time, this is really, moments I used to really pray for and really, look forward to in the past. So really just, I've just been trying to be present throughout this whole process and enjoy and just, continue to work and get better every day.
Can you describe what a typical workout has been like for you throughout this process?
As far as a team workout or myself?
Like, team workout. Yeah, good question. A team workout.
A team workout, you're going to get there about 8 a.m. Then they're going to, give you breakfast. They're going to test you. You're going to do some, maybe vertical, force plate, whatever really they want to test. Test your joints, things like that, for about an hour, hour and a half, maybe sometimes longer. Then you're going to get on the court. You're going to do some one-on-one, three-on-three, two-on-two. And then really they're just trying to condition you. And you're going to get some shots up after, and that's about it.
How many teams did you work out for?
12.
12. Jeez. Everybody, 1 through 12, or I mean, all over the place.
Not 1 through 12. Really, I worked out through teams that were, kind of 9 through 20, 7. I worked out for 7 as well.
I can tell you that, so I'm from Houston, sorry. I'm a big Rockets guy, especially on Twitter.
And I can tell you there's a lot of Rockets fans on Twitter that would be very disappointed if you didn't end up in a Rockets uniform. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night. Let me ask you, where do you see yourself projecting in the NBA? I mean, I see you, based on what I know about you, you know, 6'8", 215 plus. I see you as being athletic, long, a 3-and-D type wing. So your three-point percentage, you upped it and had a pretty good season last season, around 35-36%. So where do you see yourself fitting in the NBA? Do you think you can play the three, guard the three, and all of that?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely see myself as a, you know, prototypical, you know, modern day wing, you know, in the NBA, you know, can play, you know, multiple positions and defend multiple positions. You know, I don't think I could just defend a three. I think I'd defend a four or five, a one and a two. So, you know, I think
switchable one through five.
Switchable one through five. I think that my, you know, defensive versatility and my ability allows me to do that. So, you know, that's how I feel.
So speaking of your defensive instincts, because I think that's the biggest strength to your game personally, even though I think you got an overall game we'll touch on here. But I mean, is it just from playing the game and you got these natural instincts, or how do you develop these? Because I mean, I think you're as great. I mean, your instincts are as great as anyone in this draft defensively. And so how'd they come about? What have you worked on to improve those and to be able to guard ones and twos even?
I mean, honestly, it really just comes from a competitive mindset that I've always had. You know, I just don't want the guy I'm guarding to score on me, or, you know, basketball is a very simple game when you break it down. You know, if they put the ball in the hole more than you, then they're going to win. You put the ball, you know what I'm saying? So, it's really just always, you know, stem from my competitive edge, you know, just really trying to make winning plays, winning efforts.
Offensively, as a rookie, I guess two questions. One, as a rookie, where do you see yourself fitting in the NBA offensively? And then throughout your career, where do you think you may or may not grow your game offensively?
I think, you know, I see myself as a player offensively. You just plug in, you know, at multiple different positions, and I'm going to go out there, provide energy, knock down an open three, you know, make the right read, really just learn the game and soak up everything I can, especially, you know, in my first year and years after that, you know, just continue to grow, expand on my game.
Yeah, utility. I mean, the way you described it, I mean, that's basically a utility player, but I'm sure you've heard it all. I mean, I'll tell you a few in a moment here, but what do you think your biggest improvements are and what have you been working on? I mean, just improvement wise offensively.
I think my biggest improvement throughout this offseason is definitely my shooting ability and my passing ability. Those two things, just kind of reading the floor and reading the defense. Those two things have, you know, definitely grown.
Okay.
It's talking passing off the dribble, or are we talking like passing, you know,
just making the right reads, right? Just making the right reads, things like that off the dribble as well. Yes.
Yeah, so. Got it.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, your energy and your competitiveness, I mean, it shows every play, every game, and that's never a bad thing. You want that in your players and your grinding, but sometimes I think you're moving a little too fast to process the game, and that's where some of the passing mistakes happen from time to time, but that's what you expect in young players as well. Do you think about, I mean, figuring out ways to slow it down offensively, or how do you even improve those passing mistakes and becoming more of a playmaker?
You know, just different reads, you know, we've been working on through the offseason, you know, working with my trainer, and, you know, we have different guys on the court, you know, help me just, you know, in these workouts and just making better reads and things like that.
And it's putting guys in play in workouts with trainers. I mean, are you a film guy? Do you watch a lot of film, or is it more so just trying to process that through workouts?
It's a little bit of both. I think I learned through film as well as kind of learning through experience. So I think when I put those two things together, I learn the quickest. So it's both, really.
Now, where do you see your game in like 5 years from now? Because, I mean, it sounds like you know who you are as a player. You want to come in and capitalize on that. But I see, I mean, the differences between, like, you can come in, I think you got a really high floor, and it's awesome to know that you know what type of player you are and what you're going to capitalize on, but how do you unlock those other areas, or like where do you see yourself in 5 years, first of all, and how do you get there?
I see myself hopefully in an all-star position. And how do I get, you really just get there through work, you know, trust, you know, what's gotten me here to this point. That's, you know, really all I can hang my hat on. As long as I work my hardest and do what I'm supposed to do, I believe everything will fall into place. So.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't really disagree with that. You know, being 6'8", being a wing in the NBA, there's a ton of value there, especially in today's NBA. Long rangey guys, if you can knock down the shot, play both ends of the floor, there is certainly a place for you in the league. You look at a guy like Mikal Bridges off of Phoenix, you know, I mean, he's a little shorter than you, 6'6", but 3 and D, does it all, has great instincts and has been very valuable to that team. And also has earned himself a spot in this league, both, you know, by the eye test and both by the money bag test. So who do you model or try to model, or even not even try to, who just do you think that you kind of model your game after? Is there anyone modern? Is there anyone from the old days, either or whatever?
It's hard for me to say I fully model my game after, you know, people, because I just, you know, I like, you know, a lot of different guys. I take bits and pieces from a lot of people's game. As far as from the older NBA, Ron Artest, I liked his game a lot. As far as the new NBA, I like a lot of the new, you know, prototypical 3-and-D guys. I like Jeremy Grant. I like Kawhi Leonard, of course. He's kind of someone I've always looked up to. OG Anunoby, Herb Jones, guys like that. So even Jaylen Brown, the way he gets downhill in transition, I really like the way he's
going. I must be old, man. I must be old if Artest is old, because Artest was, for me, was like, I was a teenager, I think. So I guess I'm getting real old.
Older, I guess, an older player, former player.
I'm just messing with you. But yeah, Zach, what's up?
Yeah, so I mean, those are a lot of the guys I have written down and whatnot. I mean, does that question ever get annoying for you?
As far as like, who
are your comps? Who?
It doesn't get annoying. You know, anytime you can, you know, everybody's learning from somebody, you know, that's how we grow. So everybody's taking bits and pieces of different people's games. Some people model their game after one player, others don't. I wouldn't say that I fully, you know, model my game after one specific player. I just, you know, try to take bits and pieces and really, you know, learn as much as I can.
No, I respect that, man. Or what's the weirdest question you were asked in an interview?
The weirdest question. It's going to be hard for me to think about the weirdest question.
Come on, something's got to stick out that is just like, what are you doing?
I don't want to put anybody on the spot.
We don't need to call it the team here.
Yeah, but, you know, the teams know specifically what they ask.
No, that's all good. We've had players in the past tell us that they get asked some very funny stuff. But I was going to ask, man, if you had to pick one attribute that for your rookie season you really want to get down and you want people to know, hey, Tari Eason does this. Whether it's shooting, whether it's, you know, scoring off the bounce, whether it's just being a lockdown man defender, which of those attributes would you pick as being most important to you to cement and secure?
Ultimately, just work hard, a worker. If that's one thing that I want to get across to, you know, everybody, is just, you know, my work ethic.
Love it. So one thing I really wanted, you got a follow up there, Roosh?
No. Go for it.
Okay. One thing I really want to touch on that is really impressive on your behalf is adaptability and being able to transition into new situations and new roles. You transitioned from Cincinnati to LSU and you made adjustments. You improved like no other. It was quite impressive from efficiency just as a player. Was it just a role situation? Is it the coach elevating you? How did you make such drastic changes and grow as a player so much in those 2 years?
Well, ultimately, I think it came down to, like I said before, really just my work ethic. You know, I stayed in the gym, stayed true to what got me to that point, and I'm still staying true to what's gotten me to this point. So really work. And I think, you know, Coach Wade and his belief in me and kind of the system at LSU allowed me to play a lot more freely and allowed me to, you know, make more decisions and, you know, put the ball in my hand.
So I was going to ask, touching again on being a Rockets fan, the Rockets lately have become like a spot for West Coast ballers, right? They got Josh Chris and Jalen Green out of California, but more importantly, Kevin Porter Jr. from, I believe, your hometown of Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
Isn't Stone from there?
Stone. I don't know if he's from there. I think he played the Rockets GM, Rafael Stone. I think he played basketball there. I think he played college basketball there.
He's from
Seattle. Okay. Yeah. They're also rumored to potentially take Paolo Banchero potentially at number three, also from Seattle. And I believe you're from Seattle. So I'm just throwing it out there that if they do decide to take you, that we might have like a Seattle super team brewing over down south in Houston, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
With some wishful thinking. So I was also going to ask, man, is there anywhere that you would, I mean, growing up in Seattle, I'm assuming you kind of as a kid just wanted to end up, or is there any dream scenario, or are you just happy to be?
Right. So I'm not from Seattle originally. I moved to Seattle for high school. So I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. I live in Los Angeles.
It's all good. It's all good. Me too. I didn't grow up a Sonics fan. I just grew up a LeBron fan mainly. So, you know, wherever he was at, kind of I went as far as team. But yeah, I really look at it as a blessed standpoint. You know, the fact that I'm here is truly a blessing. And, you know, any team that decides to choose and, you know, pick me is just, you know, getting everything I've got. So I truly
can you walk blessed. Us through tomorrow what you expect it to be like, just the process, getting ready for the whole thing, you know, media, anything you got to do, just your mindset, your preparation, your team, all of that?
I think tomorrow is going to be a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of emotions running high. You know, this is really everything I've been working for my whole life coming to fruition. So I know emotions are going to be high. So I'm going to just, you know, try to really just be in the moment and be as present as I can.
What's the fit tomorrow? What are we expecting? The shades, outfit, what we got?
You're in for some, you know, definitely. something nice for sure. I can't give away all the sauce, but it's going to be.
All right. You pride yourself on your fits, your clothes guy.
I think a little bit, you know, I try to dress nice. You know, I try to look nice.
Okay. Do you have a shooting coach you've been working with for a while?
Not officially. I had one in high school, Jalen Plunkett. We worked together quite a bit in high school. Since I've kind of left Seattle, I haven't had much one. I've just really been, you know, repping it myself and just, you know, working on it.
Have you adjusted the form much at all, or is it just putting in the work and the numbers have showed for itself? I mean, me and Roosh are both guys. The numbers speak for himself. I mean, we talk about that. I mean, if the shot goes in and get it off in time, that's fine. But there are, like, you have huge hands.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that can run into issues at times and where you put the hand.
I personally don't care. As long as it goes in, it really doesn't matter to me, you know. But so, Zach, do you have any? I mean, we've.
No, I was going
to. Oh, go for it.
Sorry. I was. The question was, I mean, have you adjusted the format all throughout the years? Why you've improved from 24 to 36%?
I adjusted the form in high school mainly. When I got to Cincinnati, it became a little different just because opportunity and really just my ability to rep it was a lot less. Just, you know, there was COVID, there was a lot of things, you know, hard to get in the gym. So at LSU, and even in that offseason when things started to open up a little bit more, I really just, you know, got back in the gym and repped that out as much as possible. I think throughout the process, the only thing I've really worked on a little bit more is just getting the ball in the middle of my body a little bit more. But other than that, it's you know.
Confidence is everything, man. Confidence. Yes,
yeah, I really believe that at this level, you know, NBA level guys, you can all shoot. It's just a matter of is it going in the game? And that takes rhythm. Sometimes it takes a little luck. Sometimes it takes the right fit. So many just little intangible things that you can't always measure that go into it. So, I mean, obviously you proved that you can shoot 36% at the college level, right? And so I think that I'm hopeful it will translate to the NBA. So we've drilled you on NBA, like basketball on the court questions, and we appreciate you taking the gauntlet. Usually, you know, we stretch things out and have more of a conversation, but we know we're in a bit of a time crunch here, so we just want to get them all in. So I will transition, Zach, unless you have anything on the court. I was going to transition just to learn a little bit about you off the court. If you could tell us, you know, who is Tari Eason off the court? You know, when there's not a game going on, what are you doing? Reading, relaxing, meditating, video games, music, whatever.
Tari Eason is really just, you know, an easygoing dude, super chill, loves music, you know, always listening to some sort of music. You know, if it's not a game day, I'm at the house chilling, blasting music, maybe making music, something like that. You know, I'm not going to come out with any of it, but definitely.
Roosh was ready to battle you.
Hey, do the research so we can have that conversation. Who are your favorite artists?
Yeah, that's a good question. Meek Mill, Lil Baby, G Herbo, NBA Youngboy, Lil Durk. Those are, yeah, for sure. Okay.
Did you listen to that new Drake that just came out?
I did. I definitely did. Obviously, Drake is in a tier of his own. You know, Drake is Drake. But I did listen to it. What'd you think of it?
So it sounds like you didn't really like it that much, but I can't tell.
Mid. Mid.
I don't think it was mid. I just think that the vibe for it.
This is what I think.
His voice was better than expected. Like,
this is what I think.
People aren't leaning into the voice.
He's Drake. He's been around for a long time. He's done a million different things. He's proved to us he can rap. He understands that, you know, if he makes that type of music, it's going to make a lot of money for him. It's going to be played worldwide. It's going to be remixed. It's like a different genre. It's not rap, you know? So I'm not going to it and like jamming it like, oh my God, but it's like background music, like lobby music, you know, it'll stick. It's nothing crazy, but it'll stick. You know, it's Drake.
It's Drake. And, you know, as time goes on, I think probably more of it will start to, you know, catch on to people as all Drake does. So, right. You know,
sorry, that's my dog. As it plays on, and you know, the women play it more and like it more, the men will like it more, and that's how the Drake cycle goes, right? It drives people like, oh, I don't know. Then their girlfriends and wives are jamming it, and then they start jamming it, and that's what it is, right? Yeah. But favorite,
it's a tie, it's a toss up.
My guy, I love tie. Yeah,
chicken and pizza. Oh no, not tie. It's a tie. It's a tie.
Chicken and pizza. What kind of pizza, man? I was recently in Chicago, had some deep dish. I don't discriminate, but do you have a preference?
I mean, I'm old fashioned, just pepperoni.
Okay. I'll tell you this, in the potential event that you do end up in Houston, it's one of the best cities in the country for food. You let me know. I'll tell you where to go.
Bet.
We'll point you to the right spots.
Minneapolis is much better, of course. I mean, just
fuck out of here. So Zach, do you have anything you want to tack on here?
Last quick hitter. I know you got to get out of here. We ask everybody, you get three people to go to dinner with or just hanging out with, but who would you take to dinner out of anybody in the world?
And we're talking like, not like family members though, right? Like anyone dead or alive from history, athletes, entertainers, whatever.
Dead or alive. Okay. I'm going to take Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
I'm gonna go to dinner with Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, and LeBron James.
Okay. That's gonna be a deep combo right there.
That's a hell of a dinner group. I like that. That's awesome. Zach, anything else before we let Tari get on his way?
Time is up, but we are looking forward to it. Me and Roosh will be talking a lot of crap. If you come to one of our teams, we'd love to have you. Both think you're perfect next to our guys we got in place. So best of luck, Tari, going forward. Only good things from here. Everybody who comes on the show blossoms. So,
sure.
Looking out for you, man.
Yeah, we sprinkle a little dust. Anytime somebody comes on the show, it's almost like they take off after that and have, like, you know, some stretch of their career that's awesome. So we hope the same for you. We wish you the best, man. We're going to be watching closely tomorrow. Fingers crossed for me that you end up in Houston. We'll see if we have to trade up to get you.
For sure.
And other than that, man, hey, congrats, dude. So this is what you work for, so enjoy it.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate that.
Take care, man.
Have a good day.